And the Gemara said, "Ach b'meini da'itchata." Now we have to take our kelim and put them in meini da, which doesn't mean hazaashli shishvi, sprinkling on the third and seventh day as you would for tumat mate, for a dead person, but rather it means tevilat kelim. And why does it say meini da? Mayim shanida tovelet bahem. That was the Gemara we saw in Avodah Zarah a couple weeks ago. The water that a nidah goes into. What body of water does a nidah immerse in? A mikveh. How much water is in that mikveh? 40 se'ah. Which is 3 cubic amot. 40 se'ah of water. 40 se'ah of water is the shiur for a mikveh. But there is another body of water that is used in halakha for immersion. Not just the mikveh, but also a ma'ayan. A ma'ayan is a spring. It's an important distinction to draw. A mikveh is rainwater. A ma'ayan is natural spring water that comes out of the ground. There is a water cycle, and it is rainwater. But from the perspective of halakha, we acknowledge the water cycle and say that once it comes from the depths up, that's called Mei Ma'ayan. If it lands on a pool, on a earth, and it stays surface level, so then that is called a mikveh.
A beach.
So where is the beach? Is the beach at the ocean, at the sea, at the lake, at the river, at the pool? Huh? Whatever you guys are comfortable with is good. Okay, we can go downstairs also. But, huh? What did you say, David? Beach is not flowing. A beach is not flowing, it should be a mikveh. So the Torah says, yam. Yam works. So the Gemara is a derasha that says, even though... We'll go out there in a second, David. Very good question. So now there's an important distinction David is hitting on. We have a mikveh and a ma'ayan. A mikveh is rainwater that's gathered together in a pool, and it wasn't drawn in a keli, it stayed wherever it is, or it was transferred in a way that was not considered drawing, using a keli to transfer it. That's called a mikveh. A ma'ayan is spring water that could even be flowing, whereas a mikveh has to be stagnant, stationary water in a pool, not moving. A ma'ayan is flowing water. Water that's flowing in a river. It's flowing in a spring. That a ma'ayan is kasher, whether it is be'ashboren. Ashboren means stagnant, stationary. Or whether it is zochalim. Whether it is flowing. A mikveh is only kasher. Only kasher if it is totally stationary. If there's a hole in the mikveh and water is going out through a drain, it is pasul.
Isn't that what's going on in, let's say, the Ari mikveh?
The Ari mikveh is
a stream going in and out.
Yeah.
So does that mean it's not a mikveh technically?
It could be a ma'ayan. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the Ari's health mikveh.
It comes out.
Huh?
Does it overflow?
Does it flow coming in?
But if the water is ever exiting the container of water,
where does it go?
The body of water. So I'm not familiar with the Arizal's mikveh. So I'm not familiar. It could be it's a Mayan. I don't know. But let's say right here, the mikveh right here, if there was a hole, a pipe on the bottom that was exiting the mikveh and water was going somewhere else, the mikveh would be possible.
I shouldn't be allowed to ask questions on late, but does it make a difference if something is kosher for kelim and not for actual
Oh,
person?
Oh, we get that. Dorasha. The Gemara is Doresha Pasuk, Af Bemei Nida Yitchata, that you need Mayim Shanida Tovelet Bahem. So first you have to establish what can a Nida go to, and then we have to use that to tell us what can a Keli go to for these purposes. So it seems like it has to be for human beings, but we'll get there. Bezat Hashem. We'll get there.
Rabbi.
Yeah. Nafkamina, it's flowing or not. That's number one. Number two, some people cannot go to a mikveh. Some people need a ma'ayan. Azav.
Like, what's the difference? Like,
Azav. A zav can only go to a mayan, not a mikveh. Not necessarily. Maybe in the building process, but not in the.
They're both totally 100%.
For an idah, they both were. But for other things, not necessarily. We have to discuss. 1 second. Ariel had a question. Yeah.
Let's say there's a water jet going in, but nothing's coming out. Would that count as flowing in?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe. I'm not sure. Good question. Once it gets in there, it's stationary.
Same, like it like circulates around. So it takes out the bad, whatever it is.
These are debates in Hilchot Mikvaot. We'll talk generally, though. These are debates in Hilchot Mikvaot. You filter inside, it turns the water around. It's a debate in Hilchot Mikvaot. Not learning Mikvaot, though, unfortunately. Yeah. Not necessarily.
The bad water goes there.
There's a hole on the side that goes to the adjacent mikveh. And there is considered constant exchange between the two. But the greater two of them are stationary.
So there's no input of material water that comes into the mikveh that we use?
While you're using it.
Cross circulation between mikvehs?
While you're using it.
While we're using it?
Yeah. Obviously, the water has to come in. They have to change the water at some point. But while you're using it, nothing is being done to it. But again, I'm not a mikveh designer. I'm talking about the general ideas. The general idea is mikveh has to be stationary. Mayan is not even stationary. Flowing is good too. Clear on the two ideas? You're right. How you do the mikveh? Oh, there's a whole debate. The filters and adjacent bore, in and out, and draining and adding. It's a whole debate.
So, is it kosher to bring in water?
No, because that makes it show up. Mayim she'uvim.
You're right. How is it possible that we cross circulation between the just. How is it possible? If water is leaving one
mikvah
by gravity, how does it come back to the original
shul? It's not through gravity, it's on the side. It's general osmosis. So this hole, there's a wall in between, there's a hole in the middle, it goes back and forth.
Mikvah A goes to mikvah B.
Yeah.
How does that
go back?
Just a general, what should I call it? You're saying there's no current? How does it go from one to the other? General osmosis. You have particles that are all in. You know. No?
Yeah. Since there is a pressure system between one hot and one cold, and that way you circulate something because the higher pressure
would be. So there's what to talk about. Let's not get into it now. When you add chlorine to one of them, it goes into the other one because of just the equilibrium. No, it creates an interesting. They have to maintain a little equilibrium between the two of them. But we'll talk about it later. Is that a shame? I'm going to learn mikvaot. Hopefully, I'll learn it first. I know that these are issues. I don't have all the answers on the mikvaot end of things. But just want to clarify. There's a mayan and a mikveh. Do you need 40 se'ah for a mayan as well? This is a further debate. We assume a mayan needs 40 se'ah to go to. Mayim she'ubim means drawn water. David, do you have another question or you're good? Yeah, you're okay, David? Okay, fine. So now, you have Mayim. Huh? You're good? Okay, fine.
One question about 40 se'ah. Let's say there's a mikvah of exactly 40 se'ah.
Yeah.
Kosher mikvah.
Yeah.
The person takes, I don't know, like a big pot that would displace 2 se'ah. And he dips it. The water now leaves. It's not 38. So when he brings the kli out.
Yeah, so Mishnah and Mikvah to talk about it. I don't know the din at the moment, but there's a Mishnah and Mikvah that talks about it. Yezad Hashem, we have to learn Mikvah. Not at my fingertips right now. Yezad Hashem, we'll get to Mikvah also. Tonight we're going to talk about some halachot of Mikvah, but not all halachot of Mikvah. At least those that pertain to Tevilat Kelim. These are all great questions, and Yezad Hashem, because you asked them, Hashem should bless us with the opportunities to learn and understand and discuss the halachot. Yezad Hashem. So, here's a machloket. You need 40 se'ah for a mayan in general, and also by Tevilat Kelim. We assume you need 40 se'ah for both, because that is Mayim Shanida Tovelet Bahem. Now, we have a mikveh and a mayan. It's also important to note how not every mikveh is created the same. The kashrut professionals, like Rav David Cohen, we spoke about last week, in his book and his shiurim, point out how some mikvaot for men are not created in a state of kashrut for women. Women need to have water that's not drawn, not she'uvim. There's a whole 250K system that's built for the rainwater to get into that mikveh without being poseled in water. And for men, men only go to the mikveh for tevilat Ezra. Ezra said, a person is with his wife, he should go to the mikveh first before he prays. Shkaya. For that, you don't need to have a kosher mikveh.
Why not?
It's a din d'rabbanan.
Should we still be stringent though?
Din d'rabbanan, he didn't make it that way. So sugyan berachot, Ezra Hashem, we'll talk about that another time. But in the meantime, halakha is, mayim shuvim are fine for tevilat Ezra. If you have a pool in your backyard, you don't have to go to the mikveh in the morning in shul. Jump in your pool and it's the exact same thing. And yeah, you don't have a pool in your backyard. Though, so, yeah, but if you have a jacuzzi inside, so then if you have it, if it's big enough for you to fit inside.
More than 40 stah.
Yeah, 40 stah is not that big. But
I'm saying, yeah. The pool is usually more.
Yeah, for sure, and you're fine.
But it's
fine. Fine, yeah. Or you take a shower, and you also fulfill tevilat Ezra if you take a shower, and you wait however many minutes it takes to get 9 kav. So volume, Google it. 9 kav, tisha kavin. Tisha Kabin, you want to speak in Ashkenazis? 9 Kabin, which this year before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur might be the better option, probably is the better option, to do rather than going to the mikveh with the rest of the great night.
How much is that?
9 Kabin, I'm not sure. Take a shower for 15 minutes and you definitely got it.
Can they like sit under the water?
Conversation for another time. Let's not get into it.
You make 30 other conversations for a different time.
Yeah, sure. That's called Tishah Kavin. You're doing it. Anita doesn't have to have Kavanah in the first place. If you push her in, also it counts. It's not Pokemon Mariah. We hold this with our eyes. Yeah, sure. I don't know if you should do it for Neder. Only Neder. Because what if you can't take a shower? But yeah. So now. That only works. So some people say you have to be careful. You want to take your keli, let's say, to a men's mikveh. You have to find out first. Is this a kosher mikveh or not?
So please, it's more stringent than a man's mikveh.
Correct, 100%. Now, you might just use a garden hose to fill up the mikveh, for all you know. So you have to find out if they use that or not. This one I'm pretty sure is top of the line. And the women use this mikveh also. That's why the men can't go here at night. Because the women sometimes, when there's an overflow, they give the women the men's mikveh. Yeah, that's what Moshe Nayatian told me. That the men can't use the mikveh here at night, in general. Huh? As the waiting room? Okay, maybe, fine. That's what he told me one time. Maybe I didn't understand it correctly. Good. Okay. Now, we know there's a Maya, we know there's a mikveh, we know that practically speaking, men's mikveh might not be the same.
Is there a problem if they use this mikveh?
Is there a problem?
That's like, you said that they do like a $250,000 system over there.
I'm not saying this one's not. I'm saying some places, not that greatness. Some places. The rabbis say you should investigate before you use the mikveh in Albuquerque for your kelim for men. Sure. No, I'm good, thank you. Hey, but you should make sure that it's actually a kosher mikveh before you take it. That's all. But what if you don't have a mikveh available? What happens if you bought a kli and you have an aunt who has a house on the water? Can you just take the kli to the beach, Long Island Sound, or the Atlantic Ocean, or the Hudson River? You know, they drop people in the river. You should drop a kli in the river, maybe. You know, why not? It's mutar. If it's mutar to put people in the river, it's mutar to put fish in the kelim in the river. So it's important to realize that not all rivers and lakes are the same. As David asked about the sea, is always flowing. How is that kosher for a mikveh? The answer is that the Torah says yam. I'm not familiar with all the details of the derasha, but it's a gezerat hakatuv. The ocean and the seas are all a mikveh.
Isn't it it's a mikveh and a
mayan.
So it could be a mayan if it's flowing out.
It's all rainwater.
Right? Mayan is all
rainwater. That doesn't ever came from under again. So, but
Long Island Sound is not good?
Long Island Sound is fine. As long as it's part of the sea, it's part of the river, it's part of everything. But let's say you have a lake. Let's say you go to the Catskills and you have a lake. Or you have a river in the Catskills. Or even in Great Neck, there's a creek.
Yeah.
Right? That creek is, first of all, moving. Right? So, it's a Mayan, right? It's coming, there's a spring somewhere that's feeding the creek, or feeding the river, or the lake even. It's not always true. If you watch that creek, that river, that lake, throughout the year, you might notice that the water level changes throughout the seasons. If it's super high after a storm, that means that most of the water is rainwater. If most of the water in that lake is rainwater, that means that it is maim notifin, rainwater that is zochalim, flowing rainwater. Rainwater can only be a mikveh. It has to be stationary. So if the river is flowing with rainwater, it is invalid to be used as a mikveh, because it has to be stationary and not flowing. Only if the river is primarily 51% flowing with spring water is it kasher to be used as a mayan, put things inside of it. Therefore, it's important to first investigate, ask the local rabbis and, you know, people who know about these things, the weatherman and the like. Do your Googling, do your Wikipedia reading. Where does this river get its source from? Does this lake have any overflows? Where are they coming from? Where are they going? Maybe there's another river I want to go to, but it's being provided by this lake. It's a whole thing. You should always find out. Limashal, I'll give you an example. Rabbi David Cohen was in Chicago. He said that there's a lake there that people think is a great lake. Wow, it's been here probably forever. He said if you do your Googling, you'll find out that a century ago, there was a mining company that had a mine right there. 60 feet deep, 3,500 feet across, it was a mine. And then when they went out of business, the government bought it, made it into an agricultural park, filled it with water, and made it into a lake that opened up in 2001. Where did they get the water from? They probably pumped it in. And then the rain just took care of it for the rest of the time. So he's like, oh, you see? That if you thought that's kosher as a mikveh, it's all mayim shuvim. It's all drawn water that was pumped in. You can't use that lake as a mikveh ever. And then he found a newspaper article from who knows how long ago that said there's actually a spring that's feeding the lake in the bottom. The spring was there first, and when they made the mine 100 years ago, the miners, they diverted the spring for a few years while they were mining, and then when they were done, they put it back. So there was originally water there, and it is a mayan. The thing is, you have to figure out how much water was added, how much of it was there before. It's a whole she'ela. So if you don't know the history of your area, you can't assume that things are automatically kosher as a mikveh or as a mayan. You have to do your research. That's point number one. Mikveh mayan, men's mikveh, and then do your research about lakes and rivers, because it's not always so pashut. Dipping what? People? Yeah.
Women.
Yeah.
That's
it goes the other way, yeah.
And it goes the other way too?
Yeah. Meaning like you're saying, if you know that it's kosher for kalim, then it's also kosher for
that's my question.
For women. Yeah. Mayim shani da so
velfahim. So if it's kosher for dipping, it's yeah. Not kosher for kalim? Is that possible?
For men, though.
For men. But for women, it's... For women, it goes both ways. Yeah, it's the same din. Whatever the din is for women, it's the din by Kaylin.
But if we're less like machmir with men, then wouldn't it be...
If you're less machmir with men, it's always going to work for men also, yeah. Yeah. But it goes both ways. If you know that it's kosher for one, it's kosher for the other. The thing is, the Kaylin mikveh is going to be very small, it's fitting in there. But men, the lake, the river, if you know that women are allowed to go, then you can take your Kaylin there too. Right now, coronavirus, there are tons of women who are going to the Mediterranean, they go to the beach, they wear a very loose shirt, blouse and everything, and they go into the water, and that counts as tibula.
So if they counts?
Wear a blouse, yeah, very, very low loose blouse. Yeah, they do a very loose blouse, and they go in, that counts, yeah.
Even if it's loose, it's not, there's always part of the clothes touching you.
Right, but it's also wet, so and it's not stuck to you, so the water gets in between, so it's not chatzitza. We're going to talk about chatzitza in a minute. Good. But just to point out, Ashkenazim are not as concerned about the river issue. The river issue about 51% river water being from a mayan or from a mikveh is a massive sugya on four places in Shas, in Nidarim, in Bechorot, and a couple other places, Shabbat, and one other place. Massive machloket, how to handle that river business. Ashkenazim have a few kulot, Svaradim not so much. Sardim can't be as lenient when it comes to rivers. Ashkenazim do. If you're interested in learning more, I put on the source sheet. The second source is the whole siman, si'if, in Hilchot Tevilah about rivers. It's very long, not for now, but if you're interested, yesh epo le'ayen. Good. In terms of Tevilah, just to discuss one more point about Tevilah is how to dip it. Let's say I don't have a basket. We're not in a place that's advanced enough that they know you should have Tevilah baskets. Or you're going to the river, you're going to the lake, the sea, the ocean with your keli, because the keli mikveh is closed thanks to the virus or whatever it is. And you're going to be matvil your keli, your knife, your bowl, your whatever, in the ocean. Can you hold it? What if it's too heavy, it's too dangerous? You have to make sure that water gets on the entire thing. Tevilah is a one-shot deal. It's all or nothing. You can't have any chatzitzot. You can't do half and then the other half like Hagalah. Tevilah kelim always has to be full-blown. Huh? Okay, so you know one answer. Good, yeah.
Meaning that if I dip in and part of it is out, I can't total that.
Tevilah doesn't count. You can do. You should do the whole tefillah. Go all the way in.
What if your hand's in it?
So
go. Can you put your hand with it? Good, good. We're going to discuss that next point. Yeah, 1 second. David, what are you saying? Rabbi Aziz.
Just make sure your
hand is low. Okay, so all you guys learned the Mikoro today. Baruch Hashem. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That you're supposed to wet your hand first before you put the keli inside. So you guys all got it. You guys all got it. You have to wet your hands first. When you wet your hand, the water is on your hand. It's not chotzetz. It's not going to be an obstacle between your hand and the kli. And it's 100% the chachila. But wait.
Rabbi, what is hagalah? Like?
Hagalah means you want to kasher something. You put it in boiling hot water.
Oh, okay.
There, you can do. You want to kasher the spoon. You can't fit the whole spoon in the cup. So you do half of the spoon, take it out, flip it, and then do the other half. When it comes to tevilah, that's hagalah. When it comes to tevilah, you have to do the whole spoon in one shot. If it doesn't fit, not do it. Nothing, not kosher.
Wait, so this counts as what? Half-half.
That's hagalah is half-half. So, but tevilah, the whole thing has to go in, otherwise not.
Your whole body has to go in?
Whole body has to go in.
Hagalah is meant for something else. Not
correct,
meant
correct.
What is hagalah?
Hagalah takes out the taste of the food that's in that part of the kli.
Meaning when it's dairy to meat.
Correct, yeah. But for purposes... Huh?
What if someone's a Bulgarian,
yeah.
And then he wants to get his stuff, does he have to purify himself before he dips?
No, it's different. You're in different planes. Yeah, not the same thing. But now, dipping your hand, when it comes to Hilchot Nidah, the Rambam holds by Hilchot Nidah, you can, let's say she's going into the ocean, you cannot hold her hand. You, another woman, cannot hold her hand as the nidah is dipping in the ocean. Because you might grasp too tightly and be chotzetz between your hand and the water. Let's say a nidah wants to go to the ocean, the mikveh. Let's say another woman wants to help her go to the mikveh. Can she hold the hand of the nidah the entire time that she's in the water? There's a whole discussion about this in Hilchot Nidah. For our purposes, let me just tell you that really, if you hold loosely, it works. Because the water can get in if you hold loosely.
Why didn't she just wet her hand?
Same idea. Hold loosely, your hand gets wet. But the Rambam says you can't even do that. Because you might feel a little bit scared and grab. And then there won't be any water in between. And then it'll be a chatzitza. So the Shach asks on the Shulchan Aruch, why by Hilchot Nidah is it not okay to do that? But here by Tevilah you said it's okay. Isn't it against that Rambam in Hilchot Nidah?
So, if you hold your dish too hard, you don't want to let go, then it's
that
the
too.
Same question.
Hold it loosely. But why aren't we gozer like we do by Nidah? Don't hold it loosely, lest you hold it tightly by Kelim as well. That's the question. So the Acharonim answer. What? He's a big tzaddik, this one. He came, none of his friends came to learn tonight, for whatever reason. He still came and he learned. It was unbelievable. And he's like, why do you learn with me? I'm like, you don't understand. It's compound interest. You're 15 years old. And learning with guys who are 10 years older than you, you know, it's like putting 10 grand in a savings account. By the time they're 65, you have 500K. Learning with you, it'll be 3 million. It's an investment that pays off so much more.
15-year-old coming to
Midwagan. No idea. This didn't exist 10 years ago. Maybe you guys were here, but I didn't see it. But it's unbelievable. This is compound interest. So anyway, I also came on the brisk food on Thursday nights, right here. But okay, Baruch Hashem. So the Shach therefore thinks that you cannot wet your hand, you cannot loosely hold it. And the Tiferet LeMoshe was a commentary on Yoredeya.
Now we're talking about Kelim. The Shach says you can't.
Shach says just like Nida, you can't by Kelim. And the Tiferet LeMoshe is quoted by many as saying, no! What's wrong with Nida? If you hold her hand too tightly and the Tevila doesn't work, what's going to result in that? Karet. No problem. A woman goes to the mikveh. If she's afraid of slipping or whatever, she might want someone to hold her hand. So if you wet your hand or hold her hand loosely, then it's not going to be obstructing between the mikveh and her hands and her whole body. No, a woman. Let's say a woman for now. Husband is only chabadniks who live in Thailand. But chabadniks who live in Thailand, there's no one to help them. They have to drive 3 hours to the mikveh. It's a mashu acher. But for normal people, there's a mikveh lady, she can help you. So, the Rambam says, don't even hold her hand loosely, because if you hold it loosely, you might hold it tightly. And holding it tightly is going to invalidate her immersion in the mikveh.
And how is holding it loosely holding it tightly?
No, it's not. You might end up holding it tightly. So because of that, by Nida we say, don't hold it loosely. So how come I told you, hold it loosely, wet your hand, by Tevilat Kelim, isn't it the same problem? You might hold it tightly. Huh? Let's say it's still right, though. I'm still going to answer the question.
Can you just drop it in and pick it up?
You can, but you might not pick it up again. It's a knife. Or it's whatever, it's very deep, you won't be able to get it. David is saying, Tevilat Kelim is Derabanan. So, maybe by the Derabanan, for Tevilat Kelim, we're not as concerned.
Who gives the Kula that you like to wet your hand
with? With this Kula. Why is this Kula okay? I think Shulchan Aruch got it from somebody, I forgot who. I forgot who says it. This is in safe bet.
More than that, Rabbi, you wouldn't think of Gezerah saying,
David is saying it's a din derabanan and gozin gezerah legzerah. We don't make one gezerah until another one. Very good. Except that if it's a din derabanan, it's not a gezerah. It's a takana midrabanan. That would be a gzerah letakana. It's not a gzerah legzerah. So it's still a question, even if you hold that it's derabanan. Maybe you'll just say that by derabanan's lo gazru, they're not going to make this gezerah. Yeah.
Touching the water simultaneously,
yeah.
That could make the water possible. Let's
say
the
water is kosher,
but
like, let's say,
I don't know.
Like,
a dead animal. Like a rusty boat,
or
like a, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe a dead animal, something like that.
Is
an water. Is there any item that could make the water possible?
Not that I know right now.
No.
I don't know. Possible, but I don't know.
Is there a dead body?
Meaning, I don't know of one. Maybe a dead body, but I'm not sure right now. I'm not
like
sure.
A Hudson River.
Huh?
A Hudson River
is probably by Mavasel, all the dead bodies. So I'm sure they're all by
the
place. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
But why would needles come
back? Let's get back to our topic, though, so we can keep moving. Be'ezrat Hashem. So I told you, we should be concerned, maybe the Shach says, that you hold it tightly, and it should be the same thing as Nida. Holding it tightly is a problem by Nida. Why is it a problem by... Why aren't we concerned that you will end up holding it tightly by Tevilat Kelim as well? That's the question. Make sense?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So now, the answer is, that many of the poskim accept, is that by Nida, what's the worst that could happen if her immersion is invalid? It's pretty bad. Karet. She's going to sleep with her husband and every single time is going to be karet. What's the worst thing that happens if you are Tevilah of this spoon?
You miss out on a positive.
Good, that's one answer. Maybe you did it Rabbanan, good. But what happens to your food? Is it karet? No, your food is kosher legamre. You go to someone's house, they cooked in kelim that were not...
Didn't we say in the first class that it wasn't even necessarily... It's a mitzvah for us to not follow. It's not something that's a chiyuv necessarily.
It's a chiyuv. It has to be done. If you don't do it and you eat it, you've probably violated an issur d'rabbanan. But the food itself, let's say they transfer the food from the kli, the pot that wasn't in the mikveh, and into a plastic container. Mutarim lachem, mutarim lachem. It's fine. You're not using the kli anymore. The food is never asur. Food is never asur. You just can't eat the food with the kli that wasn't taken to the mikveh. You hear, David? The Tifer and the Moshe says that the fallout is zero when it comes to Tevilat Kelim, whereas by Nida it's karet. Yeah. That's a matter of taste. If it's the same 24 hours, it's Nisur D'Oraita. If it's after 24 hours, it's Nisur D'Rabbanan. But that's a different topic. Of Nitina Tam and No Tin Tam Lifka. Shalom Sadi. Shalom Shalom. So now, we're talking about taking your kelim to the mikveh, and we're just finishing off a few points of the actual procedure of taking to the mikveh. So you're fully immersed, and if it's you're concerned that it'll fall in and you don't want to lose it, you can wet your hand first. How are you wetting your hand? You're putting it in the mikveh. So now the Ramah says it has to stay in the mikveh. Once you take it out, it's not mikveh water anymore, the Ramah says. I'm not going to explain this part because it's, I don't understand it enough. But I'll just tell you the din. The Ramah thinks... Let's say you want to wet your hand, so this spoon can we put this spoon in the mikveh? You're afraid it's a knife, it'll fall, hurt somebody, whatever. It's the river, it's flowing. You'll lose the river into the river flow if you let go. So what do? The Ramah says, I told you, you wet your hand. So you thought, wet your hand, take it out, pick it up, and put it back in, right? And then hold it loosely so that it's not going to be chutzes, right? That's what you thought. The Ramah says, no. Take your hand, put it in. And then put this in and pass it into your hand. That way, the moment that you're passing from one to the other, it's a tevila. Because you let go with your left hand and it fell into your right hand. A second later, that second automatically tevila.
We take it upon ourselves also?
Huh?
So why did you take it upon themselves?
This Ramah, yeah. Not even Ashkenazi take this Ramah. Everybody argues, the Taz, the Pichadash, everybody argues on this Ramah, and they say we're talking about it. It's fine to even put it in like this. So, just letting you know that there is such an opinion.
You're saying you don't even have to wet it first.
I'll wet it first, take it out, pick it up, put it in. Okay, good, good, good. That's it. That's it. Yeah, I'm fudging the ideas. I'm fudging. It's my mistake. I'm fudging the ideas together. It's my mistake. Hold it loosely or wet your hand.
I'm sorry. What if we didn't wet our hands?
So then hold it loosely, or like go like this. Open your hand for a second, let it go up and down.
No, let's say it's a flowing river.
So then use two.
We'll take it.
Yeah. So then you have to start loosening a few fingers at a time.
Your hand in front of it.
Put your hand in front, one hand in front of it, use two hands.
Put your hand wet, it's dripping wet, grab this, and now you dip it to the grip.
So that's fine, don't hold it so tightly that all the water gets squeezed out from your fingers. Huh?
Even if you hold it tightly, is it an issue?
You want the water to stay in between your fingers.
Your hand is wet.
If you hold it so tightly, maybe there won't be any water in between your hands. That's all I'm saying. But again, I don't want to get too deep, no pun intended, in the mikvahot issue, because I'm not enough knowledgeable enough in the Kvahot. But these are the issues people raise, at least in our context of Tevilat Kelim, that you have to be aware about.
Maybe we'll get to it later.
Yeah.
If you have a knife, let's say, it's a plastic handle, and the real part is the metal.
Right.
If you hold the knife by the plastic,
right.
Just put the metal in.
The handle is called a yad. Yadot Kelim, we were supposed to talk about it tonight, but we didn't. Yadot Kelim are part of the Kli itself. It's batel to the Kli. So therefore, it's also chayev in tila, even if it's made of something else. When it comes to hechsher, you're right. If you have a metal spoon and a wooden handle, you can start talking about being machsher half of it one way and the other half the other way. But when it comes to When it comes to tefillah, if it's part of it, the whole thing goes, but we're going to find kulot. Let's say your Keurig machine. You can't chuck the whole thing in there. There's one metal needle inside of it that pokes through the Keurig, the K-cup. That needs to go to the mikveh, not the rest of it. So we talk about different things to do. Yeah.
Doesn't circumvent this whole thing? Dip the kli halfway, take it out, flip it over, and dip the other side with a grip without no wetting.
You got, it's like getting your hands wet, you got the kli wet first. No, it's the same question.
This, it goes like this below the water, you yeah. take it out.
And we said
no.
We said no.
It's one shot KO. The entire thing or nothing. Entire thing or nothing. Entire thing or nothing. Nothing else. Nothing. Yeah. So,
do Sfaradim hold like the Ramah?
No, nobody does. Nobody does.
So Ramah just has an opinion on real.
Everybody rejects it.
So, what do we go by?
You hold like Maran. Wet your hand, hold it loosely, it's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so we don't have to do the whole passing.
No. If you want to, b'chavah, it's the same thing. Your keli is no more kasher if you do it that way or the other way. It's the same thing. Anyway, Safik Rabbanan the Kula, have a nice day. It's all good. Fine. So that's, we have a few minutes left, and we're not going to get into. We'll try to do our best. Okay. We'll do at least Katan. No, the Beracha. What Beracha do you say on Tevilah Kelim? Asher Kedishanu. Mislav Sivanu. On Tevilah Kelim. Open the Gemara, find me the Beracha. Doesn't exist. Open the Rambam, find me the Beracha. Doesn't say. He only tells you what the Gemara says. What bracha do you say on Tevilah Kelim? So some of the Baalei HaTosafot or Zaruah and others say, some say Al Tevilah Kelim, some say Al Tevilah Kelei Matechot Metal Kelim. And the minhag is, we always say Al Tevilah Keli for singular, Keli, and Kelim for plural. If you mess it up and you do it the other way, it's all fine. Shulchan Aruch goes that way also, yeah. If you mess it up, you do Kelim for Keli or Keli for Kelim, it's all fine. Don't worry about it. But
you
have
even if you do, right?
No, one at a time.
One at a time. Oh, you can't do a whole thing at it.
You can. Whatever you want. You don't have to do them all at the same time. Even one at a time. You can do even
I'm
one at a time.
You just have to make one beracha and you
dip one at a time for many Kelim. Just like Bidikat Chameitz. One bracha on my house, my car, and my shul.
But I other throw opinion. Everything in the basket, make it one beracha.
That's also fine. As long as you make sure that you shake the basket so that there's the water gets everywhere, it's fine. Yeah. Yeah. You should say though, I bought a kli in wherever, ShopRite. Who says it came from a non-Jewish factory? Maybe it came from a Jewish factory. Maybe ShopRite's owned by a Jew. I don't know. Amazon, whatever. Safek brachot la'akel. Answer is no. You go by rogue. Rav Avadia has a massive teshuvah. Rove. Don't get into stekot. Say rove. Go by rove. And if you forgot to say the beracha before, don't say it afterwards. Halakha l'maaseh, don't say it afterwards.
That's sabal,
but there's a reason to say it afterwards.
If we know it's 100% owned by a Jew,
you're fine.
The Jew bought it from somewhere who was owned by a goy.
Chayav,
you still have to say.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even really necessarily matter.
Yeah. Let's say you bought it on Amazon.
Store don't make their own dishes. Don't make.
All right. Whoever needs to daven RV, yeah. You definitely go. Bezai Hashem. We'll continue next time. Bezai Hashem with finishing off the rachot and other things.
Let's say somebody has some free time on a Sunday. They go. They buy 10-pound block of aluminum. Yeah. They melt it down and they take a form and they make their own kli with that aluminum.
You owned it? As a kli?
The person made the kli.
You're asking me questions of ownership. At what point does the goy's ownership mandate tevilat kelim? You bought the aluminum from a goy.
I bought the raw material from
a goy. Right.
But a Jew manufacturer.
Right? So we'll talk about it. The answer is, if you made it, it's fine. You don't need to do that. But this is a major issue of ownership. We'll get to it probably at this point after Sukkot, but ownership is a major issue. I'll tell you, just because I want to finish off the brachot issue, and also this way we can keep moving, that Rav Avadia, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rav Buzner, I'll say, Rove factories outside of Israel owned by non-Jews, say a beracha. Rove factories in Israel might be owned by Jews, so then if you buy clean Israel, you don't recite a beracha on the tevilah. You might not even need tevilah, it's a different question.
Wow.
Now, just to finish off, a little bit of extra food, dessert.
Like I bought bottles from
right.
there,
an Arab shuk. You bought it from a goy. If I have a tefillah.
Yeah.
If I'm a boy from a shuk.
You're saying facts. Yeah.
But Zman is, everything comes from China anyway. You probably have a tefillah anyway. But let's say it was made in Israel. So the factories in Israel are mostly made. And you bought it from a Jew, then you have to not do tefillah.
So if I went to shuk Machane Yehuda and I went and bought a knife.
From a Jew, and it says made in Israel on it, so you don't have to do tefillah.
What if I did tefillah?
Fine.
I made a bracha.
Oh.
Okay, so that's a problem. Hopefully you did other things.
Oh, man.
Hopefully. It said made in Israel on it? I don't know. Maybe what
I don't remember. I kind of lost it.
Okay, so don't worry about it.
Oh, you lost that night?
Fine.
I don't remember.
I'll tell you.
I think they put away at the airport.
I'll tell you 2 points, then we'll have to pause for tonight, Bezat Hashem. Oh, wow. The Kol Torah left. The Kol Torah left. I miss having a Kol Torah. YU right now is such a ghost town. I mean, there's 10, 20 people learning there during the day because you're only Kol is allowed inside. Not nobody else. But just to finish off, we said the Rambam doesn't mention the Beracha, but you know why we say a Beracha? Because the Gemara is not a Siddur, it's a Gemara. The Gemara doesn't tell you every word in the Siddur. It's not the purpose of the Gemara. We have a Masoret on the Gemara, and we have a Masoret, a tradition on the Siddur. They don't contradict each other. Just because the Beracha is not mentioned in the Gemara doesn't mean you don't say it. Our tradition is that we have a Beracha on this, so we say a Beracha on it. Even though the Gemara doesn't say to say it, that's the Vilna Gaon says in a few places about different Berachot. And the Ritva, very, very peculiarly, this is not Halacha L'maaseh, the Ritva says, because this is a Din D'Rabbanan, and the Rambam says not to say a Beracha, because this is a Din D'Rabbanan, we don't say a Beracha. And that's why the Rambam leaves it out. That's what the Ritva says. And he says, V'chein Nahagu. It's an incredibly damaging line in the Ritva.
Wow.
Now it sounds like the Ritva holds this a Din D'Rabbanan, even though he said earlier that's a Din D'Oraita. And he's reading it literally that there's no Beracha. Nobody accepts this Ritva. It's also just wrong. Because the Gemara in Shabbat says that we say a Beracha on Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. Why do you say a Beracha on Chanukah candles? Gemara says, Heichan Sivanu. How can you say it's Sivanu? Hashem didn't give us the Mitzvah of Chanukah. The answer is, he said, Lo tasu bin adavar, sheyagidu l'chayaminu smo. You should listen to the Rabbanan. Right, Shimon?
Wow.
Yeah.
How did they explain what he said?
Yeah, so he explained that.
Just a big question mark on the Ritva.
No explanation.
Well, Avadia says,
money ring.
What did Avadia say?
I think he just says, like, we don't understand the Ritva.
He says, we don't understand.
Yeah, well,
what do you mean? The minhag is like nobody records such a minhag except for the Ritva. It's very strange.
Tell us what Mashiach comes. You'll tell us.
Yeah, when the Ritva will tell us what Mashiach comes. Now you have something to ask the Ritva about. Yeah. What in the world were you thinking when you wrote
exactly.
that? And what, right. We don't understand right. what you were saying. So, and finally, just to finish off, just to finish off, the Taz has an amazing line. And Taz has an amazing line where he says that when it comes to Shabbat candles, we say, L'hadlik ner shel Shabbat, L'hadlik ner shel Chanukah, L'hadlik ner shel Yom Tov. We don't say al tevilat klei matechot nedel kelim, even though that's the real thing you're supposed to put in the mikveh. Because when it comes to Shabbat, it's not the lighting that's the primary idea. It's the Shabbat that's the primary idea. It's the Chanukah, it's the Yom Tov. Not the lighting. Lighting is the mitzvah for that day. But on tevilat kelim, it's not about the metal. It's about the tevilah. That's why that al tevilat kelim. That's all that you do. You don't get more specific. Because you already hit the main point. That's what the Taz says, and therefore, it's al tevilat kelim, not tevilat kelim atechot. Ezad Hashem, next time we'll talk about who can do the tevilah for you, children and goyim, Ezad Hashem, and we'll move into the part. Yeah, can you have it? You have a caterer buys 1,000 knives, and he's going to sit there at the mikvah all day long? Maybe he'll tell his good amigo to take care of it for him.
Honestly, that's a good way for us to make money.
Okay, or that.
Kovel,
it's
more likely that they'll just give you ownership to the goy.
Who says that's okay? Who says that's okay? We'll talk about it, inshallah. That will have to end on a cliffhanger. Okay, we're not going to jump. We're not going to pick you off of this clip for a long time though.
I'm going to call Pejman Harris.
We'll see. Don't worry, I'm going to have a different cooler for the hotels. We don't even have to sell it to them. They don't even have to do that. Thank you. We'll talk together in the chat. Figure out what works for everybody. Hazak Baruch. Thank you, Isaac, for coming.
Problem.